Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
All right, Big 3, as it is a football Friday, as we are getting you set and ready to go as the Texans head to Cleveland to play what many believe the second best team in the AFC, and they needed this. Cleveland native, guy who was on this show earlier this week, you can check the podcast page. He was on with us on Tuesday. Texans tight end Pharaoh Brown, Clint, was back at practice. This courtesy of Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com. He was out there on the ground watching practice, saw him catching passes. He is back on the practice field after missing practice this week with ankle and shoulder injuries. And, Clint, I feel like it's imperative for them to run offense the way that they want to run offense for him to be out there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's a critical piece to what it is the Texans want to do. Look, at not only just identity-wise, run the football, be an aggressive power run team downhill, but also be a misdirection misdirection in the pass game and get the quarterback on the edge a lot in the pass game, some of the RPO stuff. I think all of that together, and no matter what it is they're trying to get accomplished on that particular play or that particular series, I think Pharaoh Brown plays a critical piece, a critical part in getting that accomplished. Not only that, I think Pharaoh Brown is a guy that when you look at what they did last week with a lot of the misdirection stuff with the running backs, a lot of the wildcat with Mark Ingram, I think it only makes sense this week to have some kind of counter to what they did last week that includes Pharaoh Brown, particularly in the red zone. Like, I would think he would be a big piece to what they want to do in the red zone all year, but I definitely think he'd be a piece this week that you want to get creative with after being so successful in the run game, in early in the run game and early downs and in the red zone and, throughout the football game. I think Pharaoh Brown being healthy is a big-time plus for the Texans, no question.
Well, they're playing better talent, and I still think he may be, especially the way I would imagine the Browns would attack defending Brandon Cooks, he may be their biggest mismatch. He may be the place where you say, all right, third down and seven, or I need a play, like, what's the matchup? Where do I want to go if I'm Tim Kelly, Pep Hamilton,
hell yeah,
Rod Taylor? He may be that guy for them.
Well, think about it. Who's your guy? Like, in terms of just being able to have a physical advantage on the back line in the end zone, who is it? Chris Conley's a big body that's long-armed, but I don't think he's more of a mismatch. Quite frankly, I don't even think it's close in terms of the body, the size, the length, the athletic ability to climb the ladder and go. I mean, you literally, Tyrod Taylor can throw at the crossbar and Pharaoh Brown can go get it. So there's, you talk about getting down in that red zone where things get tight and Brandon Cooks, really, I mean, it's hard to get him and Danny Amendola and those guys open unless it's some kind of man where they can use pick and rub routes. I mean, when you're talking about backline throws and throws that either your guy catches or they're incomplete, I definitely think Pharaoh Brown is a guy that gives you the best opportunity. And so, look, that's one of my keys this week is getting Pharaoh Brown involved, particularly in the red zone for the Texans after having a good week running the ball, showing several different looks in the red zone of carrying the football inside and out. I think Pharaoh Brown being involved and being back at practice today, hell, it's one of my keys to the game. So I hope today they're not okie-doking me and he's not just out there at practice. I hope he legitimately is healthy and going to play.
Clint Tyler, who did you said you just got the injury report.
Yeah, the Texans have sent out their official injury report. The only person listed as out is, of course, Deshaun Watson, not injury-related. Two guys listed as questionable. You got Kamu Krueger-Hill with illness listed as questionable.
Oh, that's a problem.
And we have Pharaoh Brown listed as questionable with an ankle/shoulder.
Yeah, Pharaoh practicing today, it makes me feel like he's going to go.
Right.
And not surprised he's questionable, but Krueger-Hill, is that it?
Yeah. Kamu Krueger-Hill,
yeah,
guys.
Krueger-Hill.
Just ask me. I
Kamu,
got this stuff
he's
down.
He's got
here.
It. Krueger-Hill.
I like Krueger.
Him being ill, that's one to look at if he can't go, because we obviously know Kevin Pierre-Louis is on the IR and he can't go. Now you're looking at Joe Thomas that would step in, extensively step in, not just rotating here. So that's one to keep an eye on because he's had a pretty good preseason. I know yesterday you said Pierre Lewis is down for the next 3 weeks, that you were liking what he was doing, but you felt good about 5-1 being in there. And now if he's ill and can't go,
You're getting thin at the linebacker position, and I think when you look at an opponent that likes to run the football, likes to use their two tight ends in the pass game, I think, you know, to lose one of your not one of hell to lose two of your more athletic linebackers, that would be responsible. Not that they're not all responsible for in coverage, but a Sam linebacker typically goes to the strength of the defense and would be responsible for carrying tight ends in man-to-man or carrying tight ends up the seam, sometimes in zone, disrupting at the line of scrimmage. To get thin at that linebacker position is definitely a concern. So you hope he just got a stomach bug or something that's a 24-hour bug, and he can be back ready to rock and roll by tomorrow. That way he's full go on Sunday. So that's bad news.
Being thin at linebacker in this game is not where you want to be against the Browns.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, the Astros won last night, 12-1. They are 86-60. Their magic number is 10 now. They've got a 7-game lead with 16 to play. Our guy Garcia, 3 technique, 5 technique. Luis Garcia went 5-plus innings, 1 earned, 5 hits, and that's really just because the game got out of hand. And they are looking to save his arm a bit and not put as many innings on him. But Los got it all started, Clint, and it was a big night for the Astros.
Absolutely, man. Los hit a 3-run bomb and opened the floodgates, and the whole party got started. The whole team joined the party. I mean, my guy Jake Myers actually got in there, got him a ribby or two.
I think
White Boy Chaz got him a 2-run bomb, didn't he?
Chaz in there, he's fighting.
Yeah, Bregman obviously swinging the stick well since coming back. What Bregman has done since he's come back and what Kyle Tucker's done since he's come back has been nothing short of spectacular. These guys are swinging the bat really, really, really well. Now if the Astros can just get Brantley to come back with that same kind of success at the plate, fresh off of an injury or an IL stint, would be absolutely beautiful. Yeah, but the Astros did it again, man. I mean, last night was one of them nights they opened the floodgates early in that ball game, and Rangers didn't have a chance.
Alex Bregman, who, as you said, has been coming along since he's returned from the IL, he spoke about Luis Garcia and him potentially being Rookie of the Year.
He's been unbelievable for us. Just every time he goes out there, gives us a chance to win, competes, works extremely hard on the days he's not pitching. He's a student of the game, and he's a great teammate. He's been a leader for us, and super happy for him for the season he's had. And I do believe he should win Rookie of the Year.
All right. I know you said that earlier. You said he potentially should win Rookie of the Year. He's pitched that well and has been huge for the Astros, and virtually has been there every fifth day for them.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Steady Eddie, a guy that's, you know, when a lot of the guys are in and out of the rotation due to injury, you're talking about a guy that just answers the bell every single time that he's called to the mound.
We good with this hair?
I love it.
Do you?
The curly mullet?
With the
Kenny Powers.
Is that? I've not seen him with it off. I never see him with it. I want to see what the top looks like with that link that comes underneath that hat.
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
He never lets you see it. He never allows you to see it.
It's a mystery.
Somebody find it. Somebody out there, Adam Spolane or Brandon Scott, somewhere. I want to see what the top of his hair looks like. It's a hell of a look with that hat on. It definitely looks old school. A little bit of news. Brandon Belak will start today for the Astros against Arizona. Dusty felt like he was the most stretched out guy to get the start, and said that Greinke will start Sunday, and Framber is potentially scheduled to return to the rotation on Monday after his, as Dusty put it, thin slice to his index finger.
You know what I'm saying?
Thin slice to his index finger. Good to hear that he's going to be back sooner rather than later. I mean, that speaks to the severity of the the slice in his finger, I guess. But Brandon Bielak, I mean, look, if you're going to get your first start of the season, I guess you want to do it against the Diamondbacks, right?
Why not?
I mean, and with this lineup. So we'll see. We'll see how Brandon Bielak fares and see. I know this. I know all my guys out there that took the over in that total wins bet is out there going, Dusty, what are we doing, Dusty, with Bielak? What are we doing?
Here, man.
What are we doing with these lineups? What are we doing with Bielak?
Oh, they'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. It ain't your money on that line.
No, it ain't. Never is.
Big 3-3. Number 3.
Good snap. Good hold. Kick is no good. But a flag is down in the secondary.
Washington is saying that the Giants are offsides.
Unbelievable game last night. Mm. 2 weeks in a row, Thursday Night Football has been a really, really great watch for the NFL.
Yes.
The Giants lose 30-29. Daniel Jones was good. It wasn't on him the reason why they lost that game, although I wish they were a little bit more aggressive after they got the interception. But that was a tough one to lose for the Giants.
Hell yeah, it was. But I know our conversation yesterday was about the Giants and the Washington football team needing a quarterback. Daniel Jones, if last night mattered in New York, I mean, quarterback ain't the problem. I mean, he went out there and was hit him with his legs and essentially played more than well enough to win that ball game, and they didn't end up getting it done. But what a game. You're right. Thursday Night Football. Here's the good thing is Texans got the Carolina Panthers next Thursday. Can they live up to the Thursday night hype? Because right now it don't matter who takes the field on Thursday night. Those were two great football games to watch, and I'm sure the ratings have been through the roof. The Texans and the Carolina Panthers got to keep it rolling.
Yeah, we'll see. People weren't fired up for Daniel Jones and Taylor Heinicke, and we'll see what it is next week with Sam Darnold and Tyrod Taylor. But yeah, great game, and the Washington football teams were able to get the victory. Really, the Giants lost it multiple times for them. All right, we talked about the running game, and we know that that's what the Browns want to do, but how much has their quarterback changed? We got our quarterback that looked at and watched the film and watched Baker. We'll see if we're seeing a different Baker Mayfield and what the Texans should expect from with him. That's next.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right. Football Friday. Cleveland Browns, one of the best teams in the National Football League. I heard someone them talking, I think, on In the Loop, and they were like, is Cleveland a top 7 team in the AFC? Coming into the season, I believe, are they a top 7 team in the AFC? And I'm like, good God, is that a question? And they're to me at least top 4. At least I think they're the second best team in the AFC, especially after their performance in week 1. But we all know they're most definitely probably going to ride through with what Baker Mayfield does. Their quarterback, their young quarterback, who potentially could be one of the next guys to get paid at that position. So you've seen him week one. There've been different Bakers all of his years leading up until this year. Week one, are you seeing a different Baker Mayfield? Is this a different guy that the Texans are going to see on Sunday?
Yeah, based on
week one. Like, week one.
No, but I mean from his college days, the air raid gunslinger, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think
years in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it took some time for Baker Mayfield to buy in, you know, and look, I don't blame him for not buying into what the hell the Cleveland Browns were trying to sell before Stefanski, the new head coach, got there. But, you know, I mean, he was in the middle of just straight dysfunction. So,
Red Kitchens,
yeah,
Todd
I mean,
Haley.
It was bad. So it took him a little while, I think, to settle in to who he is as a professional quarterback. But it appears, based off of last year down the stretch, and I think definitely week one this year, I mean, it appears that he has grown comfortable with being ultimately being a distributor of the football, just being a game manager. And that a lot of times people take that title or that label on a quarterback as being negative, and it's not. I mean, it's absolutely huge. I mean, it's when you figured the game out And when you do that and you do it at a high level, all of a sudden you have like tremendous staying power in the NFL. And I think Baker's done that. I mean, I think he's done it mentally. I think he's done it physically. And probably more importantly, I think he's done it emotionally. He's gifted as they come. He can make all the throws. It's not a problem. He's athletic enough to keep plays alive. He's athletic enough to go get first downs with his feet when called upon. But it's always been about the mentality, right? And the keeping the emotions in check. Like the mentality of a lot of air raid quarterbacks is, doesn't matter what happened the last play. It may have been a pick six. We're going to come back and we're just going to keep on slinging that thing. And we're going to hit them more times than they hit us. And unfortunately, that's yet to be proven to work at the NFL level. And that mentality typically fizzles out in the NFL. And I think Baker came in as that guy. And I think Baker quickly learned that it's not going to work. He had some ups and downs. And I think he settled in, to what Stefanski wants at the quarterback position, which is a stable, consistent distributor of the football that knows how to manage the game and not turn the football over. And it's not about how many great plays you make. It's about how few poor plays you make. And it appears that Baker has done that in terms of settling down and playing the quarterback position based off of those requirements, if you will, restrict parameters, if you will. Don't turn it over, right? Don't take foolish sacks. Don't take unnecessary risk with the football. Don't be too high. Don't be too low. Stay steady. And it appears that he's in a really, really good place. And when you got the kind of talent around you that Baker has, show it's dangerous, man.
Listen, I'm not going to say if I know like a light bulb went off or something for him. I know I've watched his every snap of his last two games. They've been against the same opponent, the Chiefs. And I watched every snap against the Texans last year. I watched probably every snap against Pittsburgh in the playoff game. There is a clear difference to me from Baker in the games last year, which he took a step, right?
Yeah,
he took
no a question. Step. Yeah.
But there's a clear difference from Baker last year in year one with Kevin Stefanski to, I know, just one game, but the game Sunday. He looked like he had more control of the
and
offense.
And their game Sunday was versus Kansas City Chiefs.
And that was his last two games, same opponent.
Yep.
Did what the Texans did last year. They played the Chiefs to end their season and then came back to start the season. He did it. He looked like he had more control of the offense. Did not seem like there was no thinking of what are we supposed to be doing here. He seemed like he knew right off the bat where he was going, what he wanted to do. He had a bad turnover, his worst play of the game to end the game. But throughout it, you watched it and you said he's embracing the run game and embracing what he has around him and knowing what it is. Like, it looked like he said, all right, I don't know if the light bulb went off. He's like, all right, I'm not Mahomes. I'm not any of these people. Like, the way that I got to get this thing done is the way that I can play. And he seems to embrace that. And that was a difference from last year, even though last year was a step from him. But in that one game, he seems to be so much more comfortable in the offense and what he's doing.
That's a great point. I think there's along with his personal growth, both mentally and emotionally, more so than physically, I think you're right. I mean, I think the growth within the system, the growth within Kevin Stefanski's system and what they're trying to get accomplished, I think has been tremendous. And it's part of that. You know, what I talked about emotionally and mentally growing up and maturing is precisely what you're talking about. And everything we're talking about has led to a bigger commitment to buying into what the system can do and the people around him, right? It's the approach of a quarterback. You got some guys that have to go out there and win the game. I mean, right now, Dak Prescott, you got to go out there and win the game. If you're for the Cowboy fans out there, if you're Kansas City Chiefs fans, hey, Pat Mahomes, and it's by choice, you got to go out there, you got to win the game. If you don't play well, this team ain't winning ball games. Ultimately, Baker has accepted that he's not that guy. It's more important that he not lose the game than it is that he wins the game. Now, last week, you talked about, I think that was a moment for, obviously, Baker Mayfield to put the team on his back and go win the ball game late with a touchdown. I think that, as we talk about Baker, from a negative standpoint, that's one reason why I say I can't pay that guy $45.
Yeah.
Right? But when we look at the game and we just evaluate who Baker is and how he's playing and how committed he is to the system and bought in he is to the system and ultimately changed he is from the years past, I think it's a no-brainer that the days of going into a game versus the Cleveland Browns and knowing, yeah, just keep on keeping on. Baker will give you a couple. Baker will make some mistakes and give you a couple. I think those days are over, and it makes Cleveland Browns again. It makes the Cleveland Browns again. Makes them a hard out, man.
Watching him last week, Big Vern's not going to be able to just get away with just, you know, mentally taking plays off or making decisions on his own or other guys in the secondary, because he'll get you. Like, not only is it going past the point of, all right, man, Baker eventually will lose it, he'll take advantage and get some of you. And so when there has been real growth with him.
It is shocking, man. I mean, it's really cool to watch quarterbacks that have had so much success one way turn around and completely, completely change their entire quarterback being, and then have success that way. It's rare. Like, most of the time, I mean, hell, it's hard to get a kid that, when we're talking about training kids one-on-one, a kid that's had a ton of success in high school throwing the football, and then you get him and you try to train him, and you're like, hey, man, you had a ton of success, but you're doing these couple of things wrong. It's hard enough to get that kid to just change, you know, how long his stride is or how low he's dropping the ball in his stroke. Hell, it's hard to get those guys to buy into change. To think that a guy could have the success to the tune of a Heisman Trophy, a first overall pick, go to the league and then completely remake their game and sit back and go, okay, Kevin Stefanski, I'm going to trust you wholeheartedly in how I should play the position, and to remake themselves and then go have the kind of success that they've had so far, which is a small sample size. Look, he hadn't, big picture, they hadn't done a damn thing, but they are a tough beat, man, in this NFL. Yeah, look, I think they're probably a top three team in the AFC right now. I like the fact that they're so two-dimensional. They're not, you know, I say two-dimensional. Hell, they're really good on defense too. It's not like Tennessee. They're very similar to Tennessee in my mind in terms of what they can do offensively. But Cleveland's got a pretty damn good defense, where Tennessee, there ain't no tell. I mean, that defense out there, good gosh, they just can't get it together. They're hitting on all cylinders right now in Cleveland, and Baker is just the beneficiary of it all. But he deserves some credit because he's definitely changed his game.
From the text line, ridiculous. No one should ever worry about Baker. The Browns had 4 rushing touchdowns, and when Baker tried to put the team on his back, he threw an interception. Baker was outplaying Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Baker was 21 of 28 for 321 in the game. They didn't score. They didn't score. He didn't throw any passing touchdowns because they also ran for 153 in the game. Let's calm down. Like, right. Baker threw for 321 yards and had his worst pass in the last pass he threw. Now, you got to give him some on that. Like, you want to pick it up.
But, yeah, sure.
But come on now. He was big time in that game and playing right with the best in the game. All right. Is it fair? Is it fair that the Cleveland Browns are the biggest favorite they've ever been in their history? Is it fair? 12.5. We'll discuss that.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, text in 713-572-4610. Do you believe this? Is it fair? Is this fair or realistic thing that should be the case that the Texans, I was going to say the line is 12.5, the Browns are 12.5 point favorites, but Tyler, our gambling buddy, who is always on the lines, whispered in my ear, you said they're 13?
Yep, it shifted to 13.
It went up?
What a joke.
You got a lot of folks out there betting the Browns.
Is it? I was going to say, so is it a joke? You think it's a joke that it?
I absolutely do. I think the Texans cover 13 for sure. That's where my money is.
For sure. I'm not that confident with it, but I do. Look, I think it's well-deserved. I mean, the Texans is with it? What the – oh, yeah, yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. Look, man, let's be honest. A good preseason game, a good training camp, a couple good preseason games, and a good week one dub versus Jacksonville Jaguars ain't no way, shape, or form going to erase what Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby did with this organization for the last 18 months. No, sir. No, sir. And it took 18 months to dig the hole that the Texans are in right now. And I do believe that particular reputation, if you will, has a lot to do with this particular bet. So is it, I mean, this
fair.
Particular line? I think that's I think they've earned every bit of a 13-point dog to the Cleveland Browns. And that's painful to say because it's not still the old Cleveland Browns of old. They're much better than what we're used to when we're talking about the Cleveland Browns. But yes, I think it's fair. They were 3-point dogs at home last week. I think it was 3 or 3.5 last week versus Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah.
See, and, I think they've earned
this one as well. They got to win more than one game versus Jacksonville to get out of the doghouse of the odds makers.
That's interesting.
Absolutely.
713-572-4610. You can text or call in. You can text the Ron, the Show Hughley text line, or you can call in. Tyler gets you. Do you think that's fair? 13. It's going up. After they just I know it's Jacksonville, but they played a team that people thought would be favored against them and absolutely destroyed them. Like, it wasn't a late destroyed them. They destroyed. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I think Cleveland's going to win. But I'm surprised it jumped up from the game. It went up. The line went up. Is there an injury that we don't know about or something?
No, I think there's a lot of folks out there betting on Cleveland. They're pumping that line up a little bit to slow down that action, try to level the playing field a little bit, get people to start placing bets on the Texans.
All right. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say that I think the Texans are a good football team yet. They're better. They're much better than I thought they were going to be, but boy, that's interesting. I wonder how many times that has happened. Team plays and wins their first game 37-21.
Yeah.
And then plays the next week, and they're a 13-point dog with it going up as the week continues.
I don't necessarily like, just to be clear, the win with the Jags for the Texans, that's not why I'm going Texans plus 13. I don't think the Texans are necessarily a super great or even a good team, whatever. I think we're all a little too quick these days. I mean, the past of the Browns, being the Browns, like, that's not that far removed. The Browns can still brown very easily. And I'm not a huge believer that they won't find a way to crap the bed.
I don't know. I don't believe that. Like, the Browns, I think the Browns are a different team. I just, 13 points is strong. Some from the text line, 13-point underdogs is not fair. It's just disrespectful.
It is disrespectful, and you've earned every bit of that disrespect. Yes, I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. There's no question about it. I mean, here's the deal. I like the Texans and the under. I like the 13-point dog and under 48 points all day. Love it.
What kind of score are you feeling in this game?
I'm feeling like a 24-7. 24-7, and the Texans scored late to win it. That's too many. That's too many. You see where my head's at, though.
Yeah. See, I feel like 27-17, 24-14. That's the kind of feel I get in the game. And I mean, and that's a blowout, 10 points. But man, 13. I just when he said that in my ear, Clint, it's moved up to 13. I'm like, my God, what has happened? What has happened with the Texans and the Browns for it to go up?
I'm going 24-7 late in the game. Texans score late to make it 24-14. Texans cover, the under hits. I see this one being a game of that sort.
All right, let's hear it. Is it fair? Is it fair? The Texans are a 13-point underdog to the Browns, and that just moved. It was 12.5 all week. Now it's moved to 13 on Friday. Do you think that's fair that the line is that large? Jameson, I'll let you jump in and kick it off. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is absolutely ridiculous line. I mean, I got paid today. I know who I'm putting my money on and what game I'm betting on. I mean, Baker Mayfield – always throws INTs late. Lovie Smith has got the defense talking turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. People aren't accounting for that and how different this defense is. Their wide receiver core isn't, like, absolutely stacked. I just do not get this number. The defense is playing well. I mean, I really think that they're not going to be able to stop the run game. If we get time of possession in this game, I'm going 24-21 Texans.
All right, oh, I appreciate wow, the call. Like 24. You're going to the win. That feels like that's coming from your heart.
That's still the under. That's still the under.
It feels like that's coming from your heart.
Texans in the under. I like Jameson. I like where his head's at. Don't necessarily agree with him, but I like yeah. I like where his head's at in terms of the bets.
The Chiefs last week couldn't run worth a damn against this team at all with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and their improved offensive line. They couldn't run. Listen, for you to say, I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't get the line. Like, everything that Clint just explained and went over, I get the line. I'm just kind of surprised it's as large as it is, and especially that it's continuing to move up. After, like, I thought it would change a little bit. Like, I thought the Browns would be probably a bit more than a touchdown favorite after the Texans showing. Because you got to look at the Texans and say, wow, man, they're a lot more disciplined. They got a little bit more than we thought they would. They're going on the road up to Cleveland. All right, you know, I got them 12.5 and moving. That's interesting. But I can't say that I don't understand. I could still look at the talent. If you start looking at the talent for those teams,
sure,
you could see it. And I think I can also see Cleveland. I mean, they had the Chiefs beat. I mean, they have to be looking at that and saying, we completely lost that game ourselves.
That's the one part of this matchup that scares me is the way that game unfolded where the Browns gave it away. I think there's a big-time opportunity. It's hard to think they gave a game away to the Kansas City Chiefs, but they really didn't do themselves any favors down the stretch with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I could see Kevin Stefanski really using this to his advantage in a sense of getting his guys right and really using it to his advantage to justify stepping on the gas for four quarters. But with that said, I still like the Texans catching 13, and I like the under. Those are my two bets, man.
And Tyler's going, I think, is the opposite. I know you.
No, he said he likes the Texans.
Oh, you like the Texans.
Yeah, I just placed another wager on that plus 13. I don't think they win, but I think they cover.
Oh, you're double wager confident, huh?
So you're going to be surprised if you walk in here and it's a blowout.
I would be very surprised.
I mean, really? Very?
I don't think it's going to. No. Not with the way this Texans team is built now, they are built. We know this isn't a good team, but with the amount of veterans they've brought in and the way this roster looks and who is on this squad now, I don't think they're built really to get blown out by anyone but maybe like the Chiefs or, you know, those tier one teams. I don't think the Cleveland Browns are gonna blow them out.
Yeah, I think the Cleveland Browns are a tier one team.
See, I don't buy that yet. They're a good team. And
what did they do last week to that tier one team you just named?
I mean, if we're talking about moral victories, yeah, I guess they lost and they could have won.
Moral, but you watched them. They played right next to a tier one team. They were leading the whole way.
I understand. I'm not saying the Browns are bad. I think they're a good team. Not. I just don't think they are up there with the Chiefs, with the Bucks. I don't buy that.
Now to go with Clint's point, I mean, these are the things that are being said. Like Rich Eisen, NFL Network, he went hard. I've heard this line of thinking from many people. This is Rich Eisen, who covers the league. This was his assessment of the game coming up on Sunday.
Odell, just let him get ready, and then when he's ready to come back, you unleash the full OBJ, and off you go. I mean, do you need him against the Houston Texans? You shouldn't. I'll be very honest with you. You should not. If the Browns don't beat the Houston Texans at home after what they just did and looked as good as they did in Kansas City, then that's a big problem. They should win this game, and they should win it by two scores, and they should protect their home turf, and they should beat the crap out of them. An elite team in the AFC should take a team like the Houston Texans on the road, feeling good about themselves, and just tear them apart. That's what they should do.
Ouch.
Good hell.
Sheesh.
Just tear them apart.
Yeah, I don't.
Rich just got after them.
Again, I understand why, you know, audio like that is out there. But being here covering the team, I just feel completely different. Like, should an elite team in the AFC destroy a team that literally just, I mean, won four games with one of the greatest quarterbacks or one of the best quarterbacks in the game right now, and he doesn't want to play for him, and it's the dumpster fire that they have been known to be over the last, you know, 18 months? Yeah, I can get where they're coming from. But as we've said many a times, you know, I don't feel like this team is the – I don't believe that there's. I don't believe they're as far as other people believe. I don't. They are from being competitive. Like, I think they're a lot more. I think they're a lot closer to being competitive than the national media wants to give. And I think that's legit. And I'm not basing that off of. Sure, last week versus Jacksonville was nice. But if you listen to this show, you heard me over and over and over again say, "Look, Jacksonville played right into their hands. Jacksonville, it's like they wanted to take that ass whooping. Like they came in with like presenting opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for Houston to take advantage of. And it's going to be a different game this week. But I do believe after watching this football team for 6+ weeks together on the field at this point that I think it's going to be tough sledding for, I think, the Cleveland Browns to do what Rich Eisen just said.
To just
tear them apart. Send them the two scores thing. I mean, two scores is not necessarily tearing somebody apart. I mean, that's 10 points.
Yeah.
Right? That's not that. If you want to call two scores tearing somebody apart, then maybe I can get with what Rich is saying. But the way he made that sound was that they should just go in there and for four quarters absolutely dominate them. And maybe they should. I just don't think what I've seen from the Texans that's necessarily going to be the case.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's, 13 is an interesting point that it keeps moving as the week goes on. Big Max, I'll let you jump in here, man. What's your thoughts on the Texans now being 13-point dogs to the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I don't know about that under, but I think the Texans will cover. But what's the possibility? I know it's probably too early to consider this a trap game. I mean, I know the Browns didn't win, but they shot themselves in the foot and they lost. What's the possibility of them just looking past Houston, thinking, you know, Houston don't have anybody, you know, we're going to play them at home, we'll beat them and start looking to the Bears the next week?
All right, appreciate the call, Big Max. You played in the league. That one's, you lose the first game. Right? Pittsburgh's 1-1. Like, they seem to be
that,
in this.
I think that would have been possible had they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Had they pulled that one off. Or even if they would have, if it would have ended differently, like even if it would have ended with Pat Mahomes, you know, last minute drive, go down, kick a field goal, win it, game over with no time on the clock, I think they walk away from that game feeling good about themselves.
They're pissed.
I think the way that they lost that football game, because their expectations are Super Bowl, and I think the way that they lost that football game and the way they played down the stretch in that football game and late in the fourth quarter, I think you go home, and if you're real honest to a man about it, it's unacceptable. And what you did is precisely why you're not looked at as a Super Bowl team, a Super Bowl caliber team, right? You get the opportunity. They gave you the opportunity on a last minute drive to go down the field and score a touchdown. They gave you opportunities in the fourth quarter to stop them, right? To stop them and get off the field with a lead, and you allowed them to score. And I know they're great, but if you're the Cleveland Browns, I think either of those, they either win it or they lose it with no time on the clock. I think there's a chance they overlook the Texans, could possibly overlook the Texans. The way they lost that thing, they're walking in there and their coach is looking them dead in the face and going, "You ain't a Super Bowl caliber team. You can't play better than that down the stretch in the fourth quarter. You're not a Super Bowl caliber team."
Oh, they're
going to be motivated.
Their coach all week is, they've got signs in the locker room. They're 1-0. We're 0-1.
Yeah,
they're pushing. That's what Kevin Stefanski
there you have
up
it.
There. They're yeah. pushing. I'm looking here on the text line though. Like, I can see what I think Tyler is thinking. You're thinking that some people out there are thinking of. I can see Lovey finding a way to hold this close. I could see the Texans slowing it down, along with the Browns naturally slowing it down the way they run the football. I can see that in the mindset of keeping it close and keeping it a close game. But the people here on the text line, like, I see this, the Cleveland Browns is a tier one team, is a joke. so you must be smoking it all week. People talking about the Browns. When did the Browns become an elite team? Listen, I'm not one that just sits there and says, because the Browns in the early 90s or when Freddie Kitchens was there, like this is the same group of guys. It's not. Like they went in there and they played arguably the best team in football without maybe their best offensive weapon, at least their best receiver, Odell Beckham, and they were dominating that game. It was 22-10 at the half. It was 29-20 in the fourth quarter before weird things like their punter can't catch a ball that's snapped right to them. Like, and Tyreek Hill and Pat Mahomes converted a 75-yard touchdown pass that should have never been completed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're an elite football. In the AFC, who else other than the Chiefs are you putting ahead of them? Buffalo? Did you watch the Bills last week?
Well, but last week, and then watch how the Buffalo Bills win. This is what
the Ravens.
This is what is so powerful about what the Cleveland. The Cleveland Browns are an elite football team in this league. Now, am I predicting them to win the Super Bowl? No, but they are an elite football team in this league. And I will take it even a step further and say this is a football team that is built, and they've become elite, or at least come in the conversation of a Super Bowl contender with a style of football that is very sellable, right? Very durable, very believable. When you talk about how Kansas City wins ball games, and you talk about how Buffalo wins ball games, I mean, you're talking how the Cowboys lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last Thursday night. I mean, those are fun to watch, but man, that's hard to sustain. What the Cleveland Browns do. What they do and do really, really well and have proven that they can do against great football teams, man.
They've had the Chiefs on the ropes the last two times they played them. And you're right. Now, Baker's got to pick it up. In both games, he's had a drive to try to win it. But really, to be honest, it shouldn't have come down to Baker in the last game. The game they played Sunday shouldn't have come down to Baker. But it did, and that part is fair. But the question to their elite team, the Browns are definitely capable of coming in here and blowing the doors off the Texans. Don't know if they will, but they're definitely capable of doing that. All right, what are the improvements that the Texans need to make from week one to week two to avoid having the doors blown off of them? And if they have any chance to win, Clint's going to tell you what those are. That's next.